And praise that this is the day that you've made. We thank you and praise you that your word has been sent to us, Jesus. And also we have the word, the living word and the Bible. We thank you, Father, that word planted in these hearts, Father, have eyes to see, ears to hear, and will transform us, Father, so we can get to the places you've called and we can go and help others too. I thank you for your word that's going to go forth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, did you see the cloud paper? Because the title is, I thought it was a little appropriate. Plus, I have zillions of this paper for the last 10 years. Okay, the title is called Peace After the Storm. Okay, several years ago, and you all remember we had a hurricane go through here. I think it was like in September, 4 or 5 years ago. This was the first time that we had water downstairs in the offices. Now, we have regularly water downstairs. We're working on it, Brenton, right? But it was not fun. We had drywall and carpet issues, all right? How many of you had some problems with that storm? Basements. Okay, so I had a lot of people here. Joan, oh my gosh. Mandy, Mike and Mandy, you have a regular thing going on down there. No, I didn't. Okay, so a lot of people had, the lady's on, woohoo! Okay, a lot of people had the electricity go out. Did anybody have electricity go out? Well, that's good as long as your sump pump backup battery keeps going. And I know quite a few people, their backup sump pumps did not do it. Okay, they went out. So they had water in their basements. And I don't know if you've ever been to my house, the basement is where you throw stuff. Okay, some people had drywall, carpeting, it was a disaster. And when you looked at it, you were like, oh man, this is my heart sunk. Now, I have a friend who had the same thing happened here, and she called her insurance company, because we call them, and fortunately they were able to come to her house, and her place looked better, because I'd been down in her basement. She actually had a finished basement with the drywall, the carpet, shelving, things she started. And I went there. I'm like, hey, girl, you did good. It looked better because the companies came and fixed it up. Now, how many of you have gone through some storms in life? Some storms. Now, I'm not talking about the hurricanes, just life. Now, how many of you would like to call a company and say, hey, can you come to me and grind up the scars on my heart? Can you come over here and sweep up the hurt, the anxiety and fear after the storm that I've been through? Who would like to have a company that you could call? Yeah, it would be on my speed dial. I probably call them a couple of times a day. Well, the thing is, there isn't a company that comes in and does that to your heart. But the script, if you understand the scriptures that God has promised peace through storms. Matter of fact, not only going through it in the storm and after the storm. God has promised that, so we need to have an understanding. So the title of our message is Peace After the Storm. So we're going to talk about peace today. Now, you know, if you go on and you Google how many times peace is listed in the Bible, but or else how many times it references by the word peace, it's really funny. It was really extreme. The word peace is about 420 times, but the references to peace is about 790 times. God has something to say about peace in the Bible. He has a lot to say. But it was also very interesting. If you were to look at all those references to peace, they fall in three categories. Just three. All of them will go in category 1, 2, or 3. And we're going to go over the three categories, but what we're really going to do is talk about number 3. So on your piece of paper, types of peace. What's the first one? Oh, spiritual peace. And listen, guys, that simply means peace with God. Peace with God. That's spiritual peace. And Jesus made reference in Romans 1. He said that Jesus Christ came to make peace between God and man. That was his purpose, to make peace between God and man. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, when you receive him as Lord and Savior, there's this wall that comes down, and you now have peace with God. And listen, he's number one to have peace with. Okay. You can have peace with God. And that's amazing. You receive, so when I received Jesus Christ into my life, I received eternal life, salvation, but also peace. Peace. Okay. We get peace. Peace is actually a gift. And we're going to talk more about that. Number two, what does it say? Number two is relational peace. That's peace with other people. Now, think about all the people you have close relationships with. Don't point at them. Okay. If they're sitting with you. All right. Now there's nothing worse. It really stinks when you are out of peace with somebody that you have close relationships with, right? So kids, you're out of it with your wife and there's no peace going on. That's not good, right? So, but Jesus Christ came to give you peace that you can have, and then it flows into relationships, all right? And the last one is emotional peace. And that's what we're going to talk about. Emotional peace has to do with you, all right? The other ones were God. The other one was with people. But this one has to do with you. So we're going to talk about emotional peace. And the one thing, and it's on your piece of paper, the main thought, you see this? The main thought that I want you to remember, I want you to walk out, I want you to be able to wake up tomorrow and tell the person, this is what I got out of this message. The main thought is you can experience peace, all right, while you're picking up the pieces. You can experience, and I'm going to show you through the Word of God how you can experience peace while you're picking up the pieces, while you're going through a storm, in the storm, and after the storm. Does anybody want to know about peace? So I had a little no peace yesterday as a decide. Yeah, I always tell everybody, when I decide I was going to share on a topic, it never fails. I get like 10 zillion opportunities to practice what I preach. And I actually did not do, at a certain point, I did not do good on the peace part. But I have my notes on it, so. Now, so we want to, I want you to know that you can experience peace while you're picking up the pieces. And you know, sometimes we go through some crazy bad storms. Isn't it nice to know that you can experience peace in it and after it? Okay, well, I'm going to give you some word on that. All righty. Now, number one, open up to John chapter 14, verse 27. The guys are going to put it up there if you don't have a Bible. John chapter 14, verse 27. So number one, peace is a gift. It's a gift from heaven. It's not an earth thing. It is a gift from heaven, all right? And in John 14, 27, let's read that. Peace, this is Jesus talking, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. Oh, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So what's going on is Jesus has been hanging out with these boys, his disciples, for about 3.5 years. And it's now the time that he is going to go and be crucified and die for everybody. So he's telling them, hey, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave you my peace. And they don't get it. All they hear is, oh my gosh, he's leaving us. Ah! That's all they get. And listen, this wasn't the first time he told them that. But so they're spazzing out and he says again, hey guys, I'm going to leave you my peace. Now, prior to that, they didn't have that. Prior to that, they didn't have it. So Jesus is telling them, I'm going to leave you peace. Okay, now, if you were to look up the word peace in the Greek, see if I can pronounce it, Irene. Every once in a while, I just crack up at these words. And then spelled E-I-R-E-N-E. Peace means a state of undisturbed, untroubled well-being. You ought to write that on your refrigerator. I am undisturbed. I am untroubled. I have well-being. Now, all of the peace is talking about what's in us. This is what's in us. If you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, he gave you the gift of, guess what's in you? You wouldn't have found it on, you wouldn't have noticed yesterday. I had a moment where, okay. So peace is untroubled, calm, stability. Wow. How many of you would love to walk in that? How many would you like your spouse to walk in that? You know, put your hands up here. All right. It's incredible peace that God's gift is for us and it's in us. All right. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. The same one. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind, peace of heart. And the peace I give you isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. So again, what he's saying, how many of you have received Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of life? He's given you the gift, okay? He's given you the gift of salvation, eternal life, and peace. It's in here, okay? It's in here. And it's a gift. It's not like the world. Did you see that? It says, the peace that I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives you. Now, the world's peace is based on circumstances. If everything goes out of whack, peace goes out the door, right? The world's peace is if everything looks pretty good, then you got peace for a little bit, right? It's based on the circumstances of your life, of your day, of the people in your life. Now, I have so much fun. I love Google. I wish I figured out Google 15 years ago. It's just so much fun. People ask me a question. I said, ask Google. So I was reading this, I was doing research on peace, and listen to this one. Everybody know who Harrison Ford is? Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars. I love it. Okay. And he used to be really cute. He's okay now. Okay. It is said that he's worth over $200 million. Shoot, I wish he tithed to the YCF, okay? And in an interview, he said this, you always want what you ain't got. Oh, bad on him, okay? Now, in 2008, he received royalties for just the movies on TV of his old stuff. Every time I went on TV, he got royalties. Royalties is moolah, in case you don't know, all right? And he received $65 million. Shoot, baby, that's awesome. In 2008. Now, Uncle Sam got half. Uncle Government got half. Uncle Local got half. Okay? But hey, half of $65 million. That's not chump change, right? All right. He was in an interview, and this is what, and they asked him this. What is it that you don't have at this time of your life? He said, I don't have peace. I don't have peace. Man. Okay. And you know why? Because the world can't give you peace. The world can't give you peace. And there's nothing matter with being rich. If you don't want to be rich, give me your money. I am going to enjoy it. All right. I hope you stay dumb. I think rich is great. There's nothing the matter with that. You have challenges walking in it though. Okay. There's nothing matter with being famous. I don't want my picture up, you know, like that. Okay. There's nothing the matter with that, anything like that. But all those things won't give you peace. Did you hear what he said? Is there anything that you want in life that you don't have? He said, peace. Okay. And that's because, you know what? The world can't give it. But when you receive Jesus Christ, you invite him into your life. He gives you the gift of peace. He gives you that gift of peace. So now, how many of you found out that peace is not an automatic walk-in? How do I say that better? Just because you're a Christian, okay, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus. Just because you're one of those doesn't mean you automatically walk in that. And if you would have saw me yesterday, you would have said, she ain't walking with it. Okay, it's not automatic. Matter of fact, you have to do some things to walk it. You have to do some things. It's just, it's there, it's a gift here, but it doesn't mean you're walking it, all right? So how many of you would like to figure out how to walk in it? Listen, we can. We can learn. So let me tell you a story. I have this dear friend for years and years. And they're my dear friend, but they're always anxious. Always anxious. And they're always worrying about something. They're always like in no peace land. They live in no peace. Okay? Now, I love this dear friend. I probably have known this person for like 30 years. Now, y'all know I grew up in North Jersey. And there's an Italian-American expression, agita. Anybody know agita? You don't know who that is? Oh my gosh. Okay. So agita is an Italian-American expression, and it's originally one of the reasons is you got an upset stomach. I got agita. But what it has come to mean is I'm anxious. I'm agitated. So, you know, when that would happen, which I probably should have said yesterday, oh, I got agita going on. I got agita going on here. All right. Now, if I go up to you and I say, oh, here comes agita girl, that is not a nice thing. It's not a compliment. Okay. It means you're like, oh. So that's how I would describe my friend that I've known for 30 plus years. Come to think of it, just agita girl. Here comes agita. Yeah, my gosh. Ah, okay. So like I said, I don't always walk in peace. And you could probably say there's a little agita going on. But you know what? I don't like that. I don't like that. You know what Sherry says? Ma, you get this look on your face. I was like, what? She goes, oh, yeah. You get this look on your face. I said, it's not a happy face. No, Ma. She doesn't even know agita. She just goes, face, Mom, face. All right. Anybody have face sometimes? Oh, I had no idea. I mean, I knew it. I knew I was just anxious and agitated, okay? But the face? Hey. Okay. So that caused me to start digging into the Word. If God has given us Jesus and Jesus has given me a gift, and the gift is peace, I started going, I want to know how to do this better. I want to know how to do this better. So you get the better. Here we go. Open up to Colossians 3, would you? Colossians 3. Colossians 3:15. Agita. Yo, isn't that a good word? Oh, you got agita. It's not a good word. Yeah. See the face here. Okay. Y'all at Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from, yeah, rule in your, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Okay. Did you notice the last part is about us living with people, relationships in peace? That's the last part. But you can't have the last part till you get the first part. You can't have that relationship walking in peace till you get the first part. All right? And the first part, let's read that again. It says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. Now, you got, write down the word let, circle it, let. Let, L-E-T, means to allow. Let means to allow. All right. So you have to do something to allow that peace to rule in your heart. You listen, I love making kids do things. Do what I say. Do what I say. I love being a mommy with that. Okay. But this one, you can't do that. You have to allow this peace to rule in your life. All right. Now, rule. Do you know what that word means? Dominion, control. You have to allow peace to control your heart and your mind. And some days I do that really bad, you know, because I'm not allowing it. All right, it's a decision. So we'll talk more about that. All righty. So you got your piece of paper. I'm going to go over five things, won't take really long, five things that you need to do to have peace rule in your life. And actually, I got these five things from 2 Samuel, story of David, okay, the story of David. You can go over there, 2 Samuel 12, we're going to be reading that. And they're more like five principles. There's five principles that David did that we need to do. So peace will rule in our life, so we'll have peace after the storm. So we'll have peace after the storm. Now, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Anybody ever read that before? Anybody ever tell you? David was a man after God's own heart. That's pretty cool. Okay? But David was not perfect. Right? He made some mistakes. And big ones and little ones. And one of those mistakes is he had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Anybody read that before in your Bible? okay? And that's a mistake, okay? The second thing is, after he has this affair with her and she gets pregnant, he's got himself in a pickle. So he's going to try to fix the mess. And he figures out, I'll just go have her husband, Uriah, killed. That's a mistake, right? You know, in case you're black, white, y'all know what right, wrong is, okay? That's a mistake. So he does. He goes and has Uriah sent to the front lines on a battle to get killed. Now, he didn't shoot him. They don't have guns back then. Guns, they had swords. He didn't kill him, but he set it up. So actually, he killed him. All right. Now, God loves us. God loves us. He is love. He always loves us. And he loved David so much that he sent a word to him through his prophet Nathan. And Nathan goes and tells him, you know, God loves you, but you have made some big mistakes and this is what's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And you know, the wonderful thing when God, you know, I have to tell you, most of the times I've known I blew it. I know when I blow it. I've been doing it. But sometimes I'm just deceiving myself. But God loves you so much that he brought Nathan to say, hey, this is a mistake. This was wrong. And as soon as the word came to him through the prophet Nathan, he repented. He repented. Wham, wonderful. All right, so he repented. And through it all, though, Bathsheba has a baby, right? Bathsheba has a baby. And after the baby was born, it becomes sick. Matter of fact, near death. And David did what anybody would do. He started praying. He started fasting. And listen, I can imagine as a parent, any of you parents, and your kid gets sick, you get it. You know, you start crying out, God, help me. God, forgive me for this mess. God, I'll do anything. I'll take my palace. You know, he is throwing up every prayer he can think of for this child who's at near death. All right. So what happens is the baby dies. And right after the baby dies, David does five things. And these are these five things we're going to talk about that got him through the storm in peace. He did five things. All righty. Now, I came up with, what do we call that, an acrostic? All right. Is that the right way I pronounce it? All right. And it's up here on your piece of paper. E-R-A-S-E. I'm going to take those letters and we're going to go over those five things. So, and the reason why I did this is so you can remember it. So you can remember it. So the word is erase. All right. The word is erase. And the E is for embrace. The R is for release. The A is for accept. S is for seek, and E is engage. All right, so we're going to go through these. The first one is embrace. Again, these are five things that David did during the storm that helped him get through the storm in peace. So I think I'd like to know how to do it, because some days, I'm not in peace. I want to know how to do this. And I've actually applied these in my life, and I'm telling you what, those are better days. So number one, embrace. Embrace. If we want to walk in peace, we have to embrace hope. Hope. So turn over, y'all, at 2 Samuel 12. We're going to read verse 23. I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. Okay, now what's happened is this baby, David, well, the whole time this baby was sick, he is praying, he is fasting, and then the baby dies. The baby dies and he makes a statement. I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. Now, all the friends come running over to him. Oh, David, are you okay? You're going to be okay. And he says this. I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. David embraced hope. That's hope, guys. That's hope. Okay? Now, I want to talk real quick what happens when a loved one dies. Just for a moment. And then I'm going to talk about anytime we go through a storm, anytime something's out of whack, how we embrace hope. All right. So number one thing, and you can write this down because I don't think I wrote it on your notes, is when a Christian dies, the relationship with that person continues. What? Yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. It's not over, because if a loved one was a believer, they love Jesus. When that loved one dies and they go to be with the Lord, that relationship's not over, right? Maybe over walking on the earth, but guess what? Okay. So turn over to Revelation 22 verse 4, 21 verse 4, Revelation. This scripture has brought so much peace in my life. And actually, I had a phone call, maybe a month ago. And this is what I ran to, okay? But Revelation 21, verse 4. I better find this in here. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, yes. No more crying, yes. No more pain, yes. All these things are gone forever, okay? So this scripture is actually talking about when Jesus returns to the earth with all of us, but it applies to every Christian that passes, that dies. It applies to them too, okay? And so what it tells you, and it's really comfort, any pain they had, any suffering they went to, and actually, okay, so let me tell you. So I got a phone call from a woman who works in an organization as an advocate for children. And a baby had died, a horrific death, the one that you don't want to know because it just is horrible. And the caseworker called me up, and she was just in tears, Dee. And she knew what had happened, and she knew there was pain and there was suffering. And I brought her to this because it says, He, Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. And she said, thank you. Thank you. I need to know that. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the relationships continue. We will see them someday. And the great part is they're doing awesome. All right. They don't go looking around telling the stories of all their boo-boos and hurts. When you're in the presence of the Lord, it's awesome. They're whole. They're happy. They're full of joy. All right. So okay, I almost cried at that one. Isn't that, it gets me every time. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can just write that down. I'm not going to, because there's like, that's 7 verses in there. Paul is teaching Christians, believers, followers, that they are not to grieve like the world. They are not to be splat on the ground, wiped out, depressed, and hopeless, all right? So Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, you go look it up there throughout that whole chapter, and he says, hey, guys, you are not to grieve like the world grieves. So actually, it's telling me there's two kinds of grief, right? The world that do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when someone dies, they're like, oh my gosh, I'll never see him again. Oh, this is horrible, okay? But when you have a person has received the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, you have hope that we're going to see them again. And it's not I'm never going to see them again. All right. Now, Paul says we're not to grieve like that. We're not to grieve. Now, grieving is a process. I know about it. If you don't, I got a book, 5 Step to Grief. And I tell you all, I got to step number 3 and I said, that's it. I'm done with the book. Okay, God, you're going to talk me through this. And he did. All right, but it's a process. But it's not, wipe out, depressed for the rest of your life. All right, there's a process. Actually, David walked that process out. He did. He walked out grief, and then he embraced hope, and then he kept going. All right, so praise God. Now, let's talk about not when a loved one dies, but how about if you go through a storm? Anybody been through some storms? Wipe you out, whack you, you didn't see it, smush, terrible, all right? Now, God has promised to Christians that they will bounce back. So write that down. Christians will bounce back. I'm going to give you a scripture. You're going to love it. Christians bounce back. God created believers, followers with the life of God that you will bounce back. You will bounce back. God just got to know how. All right. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. You probably all heard that. It says the righteous a righteous man will fall seven times, but they rise up again. That's bounce back. The righteous, someone who's a follower, a believer, has received Jesus Christ, they'll fall, but they'll bounce back. Now, look at it in the Message Bible. This one is like terrific. No matter how many times you trip, God, loyal people, don't stay down long. Soon they're up on their feet, bounce back, while the wicked end up flat on their face. All right. So this is a promise. This is a promise. And, you know, I get a little, you said, God. I do that with God. God, you said right here in Proverbs 24 that I'm not down long and I'm going to bounce up. All right. And I thank you for peace and love. And you're going to walk me through this. And I'm holding on. And you know what? I bounce back. I bounce back. And there's a lot of you. You have had storms in your life. And I've known you long enough. And I've watched you bounce back. I've watched you bounce back. And you know what's so beautiful when you bounce back? You have a story to tell the next person who's down on the ground. Hey, baby, hold on to me. I'm going to walk you with Jesus. And you're going to bounce back. All right. So we need to know that God will help bring us back. God will help bring us back. And you know what? When we embrace this hope, this promise, it brings peace. And there were times that I said, listen, God, you said this. You said this. I'd get up in the morning. You said you were going to help me bounce back. And he does. He's so cool. All right. So number one, we embrace hope. Number two, we release anxieties. All right. Anybody know anything about David's life? It was not picture perfect. He was betrayed over and over and over again by people, close buddies, his own kids. Okay. He was betrayed. Now, listen to what he said in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Go flip my page here. All right. This friend of mine betrayed me. I, who was at peace with him, he broke his promise. Verse 21, his words were oily smooth, but in his heart was war. His words were sweet, but underneath they were daggers. Anybody have a friend like that? Betrayed you. Sometimes it happens, okay? Sometimes relationships break down. Sometimes it's just plain U-G-L-Y, ugly. All right. Relationships go ugly. All right. But look what verse 22 says. This is what, so David's giving you the la, 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 la report, the ugly, ugly, ugly. But look at verse 22. He says, give your burdens to the, and he will carry them. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. All right. That's a promise. David did that over and over again. And actually in 1 Peter, what is it? 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast all your cares on him for he cares for you. That's that same scripture. Actually, Peter's quoting this. All right, so I got an Old Testament, a New Testament. And what he's saying, listen, in the middle of being betrayed and lied and stabbed in the back and just spit all over, I am going to take this, listen, it's hurtful when somebody betrays you. There's anxiety. That's a pretty word. It sucks. Okay. It does. And this is what David says. I am going, yes, somebody betrayed me, but I'm going to cast that on the Lord. All right. Now, remember David when he had just slayed Goliath? He came to live with the king, King Saul, right? He was just a blessing to the king. And King Saul kind of went whacked a little bit. And two times King Saul chucks a spear at him and tries to kill him. That's betrayal, all right? That's a little bit of betrayal going on here, especially since you saved the whole army, all right? And so he's tried to kill him two times, chucking a spear at him, and he's got to run and hide for his life. Guys, that's betrayal. His son tries to take over the throne, and he just betrays his dad, okay? But this is what David does. He releases the anxiety. He says, I'm casting my care on the Lord. Lord, you will take care of this mess, and I'm going to let go of this. And when you do that, release equals peace. When you do that, that release, letting go of those cares, it will bring peace in your life. All right. Amen. Anybody? Now, my favorite scripture. Favorite. I probably wore it out and they typed it all over again in the Bible. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I'm going to read it to you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, all right? In every situation, by prayers and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that's inside of you, which transcends or supersedes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Guys, that's release. That's release. I am going to cast this on the Lord, and he's just got his peace is going to guard my mind and my heart. All right. Now, crack me up. Do you know that God likes you to be real with him when you talk to him? Oh, most heavenly Father. He doesn't like that junk. Okay. Maybe if you lived in King James times, they talk like that. He wants you to be real. He wants you to tell him all the junk and then release it. Okay. Now, have you ever heard of, okay, if you read the book of Psalms and at the top of chapters, oh, this one doesn't have it. But at the top of chapters, they'll tell who wrote the different Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, Psalm 1, okay? And some of them are called, they're written by David, and they're called Psalms of Lamentation, okay? Psalms of Lamentations. And you know what he says when he's writing these? God, my life stinks. Everything in my life is crappy. Okay, he's being real with God. God wants you to be real. So forget the fluff. Just go in and say, listen, okay? Okay, all right. So, but you know, the thing, what happens next? So he's telling God, you know, everything's bad, every blah, blah, blah. And then he takes the next step. And he releases this to the Lord, and he casts it on the Lord, and the Lord brings him through. Okay, so whatever you're going through, like, God, my heart's broken. God, I lost my job. I'm in fear. God, what am I going to do about that? Then you have to take the next step. So that was all my anxiety. Those were all my fears. That was all the mess. Okay, and then you release it and say, but God, I am casting this on you. You are the Most High God. You do awesome things and you love me and you promised me, and I'm going to leave it there and I have peace. I'm going to walk in peace. Okay, so first we embrace hope. Second, we release the anxiety. And number three, accept reality. This is really important. You need to accept reality. Okay, let me tell you a story. So when Sherry was born, and then later on we have three girls, Jack used to say, my girls aren't dating until they're 50. And then as they got a little older, it was like, well, maybe they're 40 and da, 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 okay. But he was like, no way. And really, because he did not live a holy life before he met Jesus. So every guy would want to try what he did. Okay. So that's probably why he was 50, 60. All right. So one day, I don't know, Sherry was a junior. Oh, she was running with this crowd. It was really cute. Okay. Junior, senior. I don't know what it is. She comes home and she's, Mom, Dad, I have a date. And Jack's like, 50. And we ignored him. So Sherry told me the details. I asked who this guy was. Actually, I knew his family. And it wasn't like a date. There were like eight other people going with them. I don't know if they were going to the movies or miniature golf. I was like, that's cool. We can do this. All right. So the day comes. It's a Friday night. The doorbell rings. And in walks this guy. What is his name? He's such a cutie. Gosh, I can't think of his name. Anyway, he walks in. And I open the door. I'm looking. Where the heck is Jack? What? Okay, and so I'll call him, you know, I'll call him Josh because I got to remember this name. This is the one she's marrying, really, but that wasn't it. So I said, oh, come on in, Josh, come on in. Come on in, Jack's over here. Okay, and he's following me, and Jack's over here in the kitchen. And he is like splat on the wall. I go, Jack, this is Josh. Jack, this is Josh. So he sticks his hand out. He goes meltdown. Now, how many of you knew Jack? There's not a meltdown in that. I mean, bigger than life. It says too much. It punches you, smiles and stuff. He froze. So I'm gonna end up by doing all the talking. Okay, hey guys, you guys have a good time. And then the eight other people that are going, and it's not even couples. There's just a whole schmeal of them. They all come in my house, so I'm talking to them. And Jack's just standing there. I was like, what the heck is going on? So they leave. They leave, and I have a sit-down talk with him, and I say, Jack, this is happening. This is happening. She's on a date. Jack, you have to accept this. Oh, yeah, okay. Jack, this is happening. Yeah, it's happening. Okay. That's a funny story. But there are things in life that happen. Now, my past, I can't change. And some of it sucks. Okay? That's the worst I'm swearing today. Probably shouldn't say that. That's probably not a girl. What did I say? That's not a girl word. I'm sorry. That's terrible. All right. Too much coffee. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. It's just, I said, all right. So my past, some of it's bad. I cannot change the past. That you have to accept. Okay? I can change the future. God can change the future for me. All right? So some people, oh, Pastor Nia, yeah, yeah. No, what's behind me, I cannot. And David, 2 Samuel, what do I, I'm going to give you about verse 22. All right? 2 Samuel 22, he says, I fasted while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious and let the child live. And then verse 23, but why should I fast when he's dead? He's accepting the reality. Did he like it? No, but he had to accept that. Can I bring him back? And then, you know, the next part, the hope. I will go to him one day, right? But he can't return, right? So he's accepting reality. Now, I can't change this, but I will accept it. And I'll tell you what, I will go out of the gate swinging. I am serious with God now. And that's what he did. He accepted the reality, but he went forward. All right. Okay. Enough of that. Number four. Ah, look at the clock. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't look at the clock. Number four. We need to seek God. Now, let me tell you something. I've been walking with the Lord, you can't probably tell, for about 40 years after I said those bad words. Okay. But there in the 40 years, I finally learned a few things. I've learned not to say some things, okay? Like I never say, I'm mad at God. I've learned not to say that. And I never say, you know, God, where were you? Because I know that's dumb, all right? And I know that's not even the truth. God is always with me. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me, okay? And being mad is just being dumb, all right? But there are times that I have been through some storms, and it's taken me a while to get to the next step because of my heart, all right? Well, this happened. I'm not going to read my Bible. I have to go to church, okay? I'm not going to worship God. I'm going to put on classic oldies. Yeah, okay, I'm just going to do that. Okay, guys, after you've been through a storm, anybody been through storms in life, sometimes it's easy to do that, all right? But look what David did. Look what David did. Verse 20. Where am I? Nope. Nope. Flip the page. See, I didn't bring my Bible because there's too many flipping. I just printed out. Here we go. David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on his lotion, cologne, changed his clothes, put on jeans, went to the temple to worship God. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. Okay, what did David do after he went into the temple? He went into the temple where, to him, that's where God was, okay? And he started worshiping God. How many of you think he felt like it? He probably didn't feel like it. He probably didn't feel like it, but he did it. He did it. And you know why? You know why we need to do it? Because when we go and we seek God, God meets us. He washes us. He gives us hope and light and direction. All right. So that's why David did that. All right. What are we on now? Seek? Okay. Okay. Let me give you one more here. Seek. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73, 16. This one made me laugh. You know, sometimes, guys, when you're reading the New King James or the NIV or the New Living, those are great translations, King James and stuff like that. But then every once in a while I'll read it and I go, huh? What does that mean? And I'll whip out the Message Bible. All right? It just puts it right where you're at. All right? But really, I do like the New King James. But look at this one, Psalm 73. When I tried to figure it out, the storm, the wackiness of life, okay? When I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Anybody get a headache? Yeah, trying to... Okay, until I entered the sanctuary of God. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you have to show up here at church, though I do love it when you do that, okay? And then the last part says, and I saw the whole picture. Guys, when you're after a storm and you're going to have this peace, you need to start seeking God. God will come and he'll bring peace. God will just wash you. He'll hold you. He'll give direction. I don't know how many times in the middle of a worship service, you know, we're praising the Lord and singing that it's been a doozy just to get here. Okay. And I'm in just singing and just worshiping God. Just junk falls off. I love it. Or how many times I just, you know, it's been a storm. My life just got whacked and I didn't even see it coming. And I'm anxious and I'm in fear and I'll whip out my Bible and I'll just camp out. Like I'll say, I'm not moving until I get some direction. And all the time, God just gives me comfort, inspiration, direction. Sometimes it's just love, okay? Just this crazy love on me. So that's why after the storm, if you would like to encounter peace, you've got to seek God. You've got to seek God. Okay, the last one. Everybody say, see the last one? He engaged in life. He got right back in the saddle. All right? Now, what had happened is, so the child had died. David had fasted and prayed. Then he had embraced. Then he released and he accepted and he sought God. And then he engaged in life. And what he did was half of his army got the report. Half the army was out having this big old battle and they're not doing too good. And he finds out about it. And this is what he says. So David gathered the rest of the army and he went to Rabbah. I think that's how you say that. And he fought against them and captured. You know what David says? Oh my gosh, I'm a king and kings go to war. And yes, I have had a storm in my life, but I am going to engage in life and I'm going to go take the rest of the army and we're going to go to war. And he did. And God was with him and they captured and they took over the whole thing. All right. But I will say, listen, there is a season for grief. How long people go through it, I don't know. I'd like to tell you, you've got 10 minutes to get your crut together and get moving, okay? And actually, when Jack passed away, I had 10 days. I had 10 days of grief. Yep. And then I had to put a kid in the car and drive to Oklahoma. And it was great. It was wonderful. Then I had to show up at Rhema and report in. And the lady says, what are you doing here? When did your husband pass away? I said, 10 days ago. She's like, oh, girl, where are you? I said, I am engaged in life. Because, guys, life goes forward. And the reason why you have to engage in life after tragedies, after storms, after really tough times, people have betrayed you and all the garbage that goes on in life is because God wants to still do a work in you. And after he does a work in you, he wants you to help others. But if you get stuck, and you choose. And listen, I will tell you, everybody in the world said, oh, poor you. You should just, yeah, you should be depressed and you should stay like that. I was like, yuck. Okay, yuck. All right. It's painful, but I've got an inner strength. I've got a God who knows the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. He brings light into my path. I can trust him that if I'd make this decision, I can either choose to have a splitting headache, right? Like David said, or I'm going to engage in life. And did you read the rest of David? He had a pretty glorious life, okay? So I want to encourage you. These are five just principles that I've had to apply in my life, okay? Through storms and after the storms. And I believe if you would look at those, just spend time checking them out and just thinking about where your life is and asking the Lord, where am I in this? All right. Now, if any of you do not have a storm going on in your life, I'm so glad. I'm going to come over for dinner. Okay. And if you haven't had one in a long time, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you don't have a storm. But I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but probably you're going to run into a storm in life and you better take this piece of paper out or just read 2 Samuel, all right? All right. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I had one more scripture. You guys can look it up. I'm looking at our time and we've got some fun things to do here today, but, hallelujah. If you feel like you've lost hope, I want you to know you can embrace the Most High God. He's a God of hope. Amen. If you feel like, you're just in anxiety about all that's happened in your life, I just ask the Lord and say, Lord, I'm casting this on you. And I know that you will take care of me. If you are stuck because of what happened, I just challenge you to accept the reality and know that your future, you have a bright hope and a future, and God will walk you to greatness. He has got greatness and he's ready for you to accept it and release that. Okay, and of course, I'm going to tell you, if you've gotten mad at God and you're not seeking him, go start seeking him. He loves you. He loves you like you cannot imagine. And he wants you to seek him so he can direct, he can heal, he can release, he can just make life go from glory to glory. And the last one, engage. And engage is not so much about you. Engaging in life to go forward. Engage is because God wants to use you. There's people that he's going to put in your path. And if you do not engage, they need you. All right. So praise the Lord. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, you don't have to raise your hand. I want to, you know, Pastor D, I've been holding some things.